Welcome to Zichud Daf Siman Mem Vayera Ram Goldar and the Mezekes Yavamas Daf Kufchaf of the 16th Parak Isha Basra. So the few Daf's are going to focus on number one. The next Mishnah states: Nafal Amaim. If a man fell into water, it was not seen to come up. Ben Sheish Lahen Sova, Ben Shein Lahen Sova, Ishto Asura. Whether the water has an end or whether the water has no end, his wife is forbidden to marry, for he still may be alive. Abai defines water that has an end as kosher omed v'ro ma'arba ruchosa, any body of water small enough that one stands in one place and can see its four sides. Rashi gives the example of one who sees someone fall into a pool of water in a cave where he can see all its banks. He needs to stay there for as long as one can typically survive underwater, and then he can leave. According to the Tanakhama, even if there's a remote possibility the person survived beyond what's normal, the wife is still forbidden to remarry. Rabbi Yossi, the Mishnah said, there was an incident involving a blind person who went down to immerse himself in a pool in a cave, and his guide went in after him. Michelle could they should take nafsham, and they remained there long enough for their souls to depart. And the Rabban permitted the wives to remarry, even though their bodies were never found. Point number two was taught in a brace where Gamliel said, one time I was traveling in a ship, and I saw a ship that had been shattered and was sinking. And I was pained by the thought of a Talmud Chacham who was on that ship. Who was it? It was Rabbi Akiva. But when I came to shore, Baba Yashav Adam Fanai B'Halacha, Rabbi Akiva came and sat and engaged before me in a matter of halacha. When I asked him, my son, who raised you up out of the water? He said to me, Daf Shel Sfina Nizdamanli. There was a daf, a board from the ship that came before me and I grabbed onto it. But Kol Gal V'Gal Shabalai Nanesi Roshi. And before every wave that came upon me, I bowed my head and it passed over me. The Brisa continues, Mikan Amru Chachamim Im Yavo Rishayim Al Adam Yananei L'Rosho. If Rishayim come upon a person, let him bow his head before them, and the danger will pass. Rashi explains that he should restrain himself and not antagonize them. It is worthwhile to note that it is this Gemara by Rabbi Akiva being saved by the Daf, the board, that Rabbi Meir Shapiro used at the first Knesset HaGadolah to introduce the Daf Yomi program and explain its rationale. The daily Daf will save every Jew from the waves of spiritual threats that he confronts. And point number three, he was taught in the Brisa, there was an incident with the daughter of Nechunya Chofer Shichi. Nechunya, the ditch digger, who Rashi explains would dig cisterns along the roads from rainwater for the Oyer HaGoyim, that his daughter fell into a large cistern, and they came before Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa so that he would daven and she would be saved. The first hour he said to them, Shalom. The second hour he said to them, Shalom. The third hour he said to them that she has emerged from the water, and it was so. They asked her, who brought you up from the pit? And she answered, Zachar shel Rechelim nizdamen li, v'zaken manigo. A male sheep came before me, and an elderly man was leading it. Rashi explains the ram was the ram from the Akedah, and the zaken was Avram Avinu. They said to Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa that he was a Navi, to which he responded that he was not. Rather, he reasoned, Davishad Tzadik Misasik Bo Yechashel Bo Zaro. Is it possible that something a Tzadik occupies himself with the Tzibor, his child should stumble upon it? The Gemara addresses, how then did Nechunya's son die of thirst? So once again, the 3 points are number one. The next Mishnah states, Nafal Amaim, if a man fell into water and was not seen to come up, Ben Sheish Lahen Sov, Ben Shein Lahen Sov, Ishto Asura. Whether the water has an end or whether the water has no end, his wife is forbidden to marry, for he may still be alive. Abai defines water that has an end as kosher omed v'ro ma'arba ruchosa, any body of water small enough that one stands in one place and can see its four sides. Rashi gives the example of one who sees someone fall into a pool of water in a cave where he can see all its banks. He needs to stay there for as long as one can typically survive underwater, and then he can leave. According to the Tanakhama, even if there's a remote possibility the person survived beyond what's normal, the wife is still forbidden to remarry. Rabbi Yossi, the Mishnah said, there was an incident involving a blind person who went down to immerse himself in a pool in a cave, and his guide went in after him. Michelle could they should take nafsham, and they remained there long enough for their souls to depart. And the Rabban permitted the wives to remarry, even though their bodies were never found. Point number two was taught in a brace where Gamliel said, one time I was traveling in a ship, and I saw a ship that had been shattered and was sinking. And I was pained by the thought of a Talmud Chacham who was on that ship. Who was it? It was Rabbi Akiva. But when I came to shore, Baba Yashav Adam Fanai B'Halacha, Rabbi Akiva came and sat and engaged before me in a matter of halacha. When I asked him, my son, who raised you up out of the water? He said to me, Daf Shel Sfina Nizdamanli. There was a daf, a board from the ship that came before me and I grabbed onto it. But Kol Gal V'Gal Shabalai Nanesi L'Roshi. And before every wave that came upon me, I bowed my head and it passed over me. The Brisa continues, Mikan Amru Chachamim Im Yavo Rishayim Al Adam Yananei L'Rosho. If Rishayim come upon a person, let him bow his head before them, and the danger will pass. Rashi explains that he should restrain himself and not antagonize them. It is worthwhile to note that it is this Gemara by Rabbi Akiva being saved by the Daf, the board, that Rabbi Meir Shapiro used at the first Knesset HaGadolah to introduce the Daf Yomi program and explain its rationale. The daily Daf will save every Jew from the waves of spiritual threats that he confronts. And point number three, he was taught in a Brisa, there was an incident with the daughter of Nechunya Chofer Shichi. Shichin Nechunya, the ditch digger, who Rashi explains would dig cisterns along the roads from rainwater for the Oir HaGoyim, that his daughter fell into a large cistern, and they came before Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa so that he would daven and she would be saved. The first hour he said to them, Shalom. The second hour he said to them, Shalom. The third hour he said to them that she has emerged from the water, and it was so. They asked her, who brought you up from the pit? And she answered, Zachar shel Rechelim nizdamen li, v'zakin manigo. A male sheep came before me, and an elderly man was leading it. Rashi explains the ram was the ram from the Akedah, and the zakin was Avram Avinu. They said to Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa that he was a Navi, to which he responded that he was not. Rather, he reasoned, Davishad tzadik misasik bo yichashel bo zaro. Is it possible that something a tzadik occupies himself with a tzibor, his child should stumble upon it? The Gemara addresses, how then did Nechunya's son die of thirst? So once again, the 3 points are number one. The next Mishnah states, Nafal amayim, if a man fell into water and was not seen to come up, ben she'esh lehensov, ben she'ein lehensov, ishto asura. Whether the water has an end or whether the water has no end, his wife is forbidden to marry, for he may still be alive. All right, so now we go to Simur Daf Kuf Chaf Aleph, and this one was suggested to us by a number of people, by Lior Raps from Yerushalayim, by Shimon Ziegler from South Fallsburg, New York, by Jeremy Shaiwitz from Woodmere, New York, and by Danny Wolf from Denver. They all suggested Kuf Chaf Aleph is cocoa, and we use a cocoa bean farmer in the Simmons. So here goes. When Pedro, the cocoa bean farmer, fell into the pool of cave water, he grabbed onto a duff and bowed his head whenever a wave came, while watching off in the distance the young girl being pulled out of the water by an elderly man with a ram. So once again, slow motion. When Pedro, the cocoa bean farmer, that must mean we're on duff, Kuf Chaf Aleph. When Pedro the cocoa bean farmer fell into the pool of cave water, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Nafal amayim, if a man fell into water and was not seen to come up, ben she'esh lehensov, ben she'ein lehensov, ishto asura, whether the water has an end or the water has no end, his wife is forbidden to marry, for he still may be alive. Abai defines water that has an end as kol she'omed v'roa ma'arba ruchoseh, any body of water small enough that one stands in one place and can see its four sides. Rashi gives the example of one who sees someone fall into a pool of water in a cave where he can see all its banks. So when Pedro, the cocoa bean farmer, fell into the pool of cave water, he grabbed onto a duff and bowed his head whenever a wave came. Which reminds me when Gamliel related what Rabbi Akiva said to him in explaining how he was saved from a sinking ship. Rabbi Gamliel said, he said to me, Duff shall svinin is dominantly. There was a duff, a board from the ship that came before me, and I grabbed onto it. And before every wave that came upon me, I bowed my head and it passed over me. The Brisa continues that if Rashaim come upon a person, let him bow his head before them and the danger will pass. Or she explains that he should restrain himself and not antagonize them. So, when Pedro, the cocoa bean farmer, fell into the pool of cave water, he grabbed onto a duff and bowed his head whenever a wave came, while watching off in the distance the young girl being pulled out of the water by an elderly man with a ram. Which reminds us, Gemara relates the story of Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa davening for the daughter of Nechunya Chofer Shichin, Nechunya the ditch digger, who fell into a cistern, and after davening for her, she emerged. They said to Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa that he was a Navi, to which he responded that he was not. Rather, he reasoned, Davisha, Tzadik Masasik Bo, Yechashu Bo Zaro, is it possible that something a Tzadik occupies himself with the Tzibor, his child should stumble upon it? The Gemara addresses, how then did Nechunya's son die of thirst? So once again, when Pedro, the cocoa bean farmer, fell into the pool of cave water, he grabbed onto a duff and bowed his head whenever a wave came, while watching off in the distance a young girl being pulled out of the water by an elderly man with a ram. All right, now it's time for a four blah back chazara. Daf Kuf Yud Zayin. So the Simur Daf Kuf Yud Zayin is a gabbai with a set of keys. So here goes. The gabbai's wife. Gabbai's wife. That must be on Daf Kuf Yud Zayin. Gabbai with a set of keys. The gabbai's wife, who was not permitted to remarry when she came to Basin and said, my husband, who loved his keys more than me, died. Give me my ksuba. Which reminds us, the Mishnah states regarding to what extent a woman is believed when she testifies that her husband has died. Beisham may say, tinasa tito ksuba sa. She may marry and collect her ksuba. Rav Nachman said, but if she said, my husband died, tunuli ksuba si, give me my ksuba, we do not give her the ksuba and we do not even permit her to marry. The reason is a daita ksuba sa. She came to Basin for the purpose of collecting her ksuba. Rashi explains that she had come for a monetary issue, which requires two witnesses. So the gabbai's wife, who was not permitted to remarry when she came to Basin and said, my husband, who loved his keys more than me, died. Give me my ksuba. Nor was permitted to marry when her father-in-law's daughter testified that he had passed away. Which reminds us, the next mission of the Daf states regarding testifying that a woman's husband had died, everyone is believed to testify for her except her mother-in-law, her mother-in-law's daughter, her tsar, her yavin's wife, and her stepdaughter. Rashi explains that they're not believed since they hate her and intend to cause her harm by lying. The Gemara asks what the halach is with regard to a bas chamia, her father-in-law's daughter from a different wife, and leaves a question unresolved. So the Gabbai's wife, who was not permitted to remarry when she came to Basin and said, "My husband, who loved his keys more than me, died. Give me my ksuba." Nor was permitted to marry when her father-in-law's daughter testified that he had passed away. Was finally permitted to marry when a single witness testified to his death, even though a second one came after and contradicted his testimony. Which reminds us, the Gemara explains that if one witness testified saying he died, and based and permitted her to marry on that basis, and then a second witness comes before she remarries and testifies to the contrary, she does not leave her original state of heter. This is because, as Zuhal said, wherever the Torah believes a single witness, it's as though there are two witnesses there. Therefore, even if a second witness comes and testifies to the contrary, the words of one witness are not significant relative to the words of two witnesses. Daf Kuf Yud Ches. So the Simmer Daf Kuf Yud Ches is Kichel. So here goes. When the Tzaros came back from overseas, and the first wife said her husband died from eating too much herring, and Kichel, Kichel, that must mean one Daf Kuf Yud Ches. When the Tzaros came back from overseas and the first wife said her husband died from eating too much herring and kichel, and the second one said he did not die, which reminds us, the Mishnah on the bottom of Daf Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Beis stated regarding two Tzaros who were overseas with their husband and then returned, if one of the wives said regarding her husband he died and then one said he did not die, the one who says he died may marry and collect her ksuba, and the one who said he did not die may not marry nor collect her ksuba. The Gemara answers that the case of the second Tzar saying he did not die was needed, for we might have thought that the second Tzar knows that the husband is dead. But she said he did not die, because she intends to ruin the first Tzara, hoping that she'll have to remain an aguna, even though she's hurting herself as well. And she's saying, like Shimshon said, Tamas Navshi im Plishtim, let my soul die with the Plishtim. Therefore, the Mishnah is teaching that in this case, the second Tzara can still not remarry. So when the Tzaros came back from overseas and the first wife said her husband died from eating too much herring and kechel, and the second one said he did not die, Basin recalled how this man was Mekadosh, one of five women with kechel, which reminds us the third Mishnah on the Daf states, Kiddush Achaz Mechamish Nashim, Me'ein Yidei Ezi Kiddush, if one was Mekadosh, one of five women does not know which one he was Mekadosh, and each one says, Osi Kiddush, he was Mekadosh me, he gives a get to each one and places a ksuba payment between them and withdraws a coin to Rabbi Tarfon. The Mefarshim explained that he doesn't literally place the money between them, but rather he places the money before them in Basin and challenges each one to prove that she's the one who's entitled to the ksuba. Rabbi Kiva says, this way we'll not get him out of doing an avera until he gives a get and the ksuba payment to each and every one. A similar case is brought regarding a man who stole from one of five people and can't remember who, and they all claim that he stole from them. So when the Tzaros came back from overseas, and the first wife said her husband died from eating too much herring and kechel, and the second one said he did not die, Basin recalled how this man was Mekadosh, one of five women with kechel. And even though he always complained the kichel wasn't crispy enough, his wives preferred to stay married to him instead of being single. Which reminds us, the Gemara taught that if one grants a get to his wife through a third party, in a place where there's strife between the husband and the wife, it's not a schus for the wife. As Reish Lakish said, Tavu mesav tanduma lemesav armula, it's better to live as two bodies than to live alone. A woman prefers to stay in a difficult marriage than to be single. Daf Kuf Yud Tes. So the Simmer Daf Kuf Yud Tes is a kite. So here goes. The woman whose husband died overseas and decided to fly a kite, that must be one Daf Kuf Yud Tes. The woman whose husband died overseas and decided to fly a kite while she was waiting to hear if her tzar was pregnant, which reminds us, the Mishnah stated, Ha'isha Shahalach Balav Tzaras L'Midian Siyam, a woman whose husband and tzara went overseas and people came and said to her, your husband died, she can't marry a stranger nor be taken in Yibum until she determines whether her tzar is pregnant. The rest, why she may not marry a stranger? If the concern is that her tzar may not be pregnant so that she's chai to be taken in Yibum, I could say, follow the majority of women, and the majority of women do conceive and give birth. Therefore, it's safe to assume that Tzara gave birth to a viable child overseas, and she's exempt from Yibum and permitted to a stranger. The Gemara says the Mishnah is going according to Rabbi Meir, the Chai Shel Miyuta, who's concerned for the minority. But according to the Rabban, who go according to the majority, the widow would be permitted to a stranger. So, the woman whose husband died overseas and decided to fly a kite while she was waiting to hear if her tzara was pregnant, was embarrassed when it flew over 9 kosher stores in 1 treflin and landed on a piece of meat, which reminds us. The Gemara suggests that the Mishnah could even be in accordance with the Rabbanan. For when did they go after the rove? It's only in a case of Ruba de Eitz HaKaman, a rove that is before us. Like the cases of 9 stores or Sanhedrin, the case of 9 stores is when meat is found in the street and it's not known whether it comes from one of 9 stores that sells kosher meat or from the one store that sells treif. But in both cases, the majorities are before us, and we can rule the meat is kosher and the person is acquitted. But in a case where the majority is not before us, such as in our case, where the majority is based on the premise that most women in the world conceive and give birth, the Rabbanan do not follow the majority. The Gemara rejects as proving that the Rabban go with Rove even when the majority is not before us. So the woman whose husband died overseas and decided to fly a kite while she was waiting to hear if her tsar was pregnant was embarrassed when it flew over 9 kosher stores in 1 trefon and landed on a piece of meat right in between the wives of 2 brothers who claimed their husbands had passed away. Which reminds us, the next Mishnah states that if the wives of 2 brothers return from overseas, and this one says, my husband died, and this one says, my husband died, zo asur mifnei ba'al shozo, zo asur mifnei ba'al shozo. This one is prohibited to marry a stranger on account of that one's husband, and that one is prohibited to marry a stranger on account of this one's husband. Rashi explains that each woman is prohibited, for perhaps each brother-in-law is alive, and they are chayv and yibum. They cannot rely on each other's testimony, since we learn in the Mishnah that one of the women who is not believed to give testimony that another woman's husband has died is her yibimta, her brother-in-law's wife. Daf kuf chaf, so the simmer daf kuf chaf is a cook. So here goes. The cook, that must be on daf kuf chaf. The cook at the Wild Safari restaurant, who identified the corpse as one of the waiters based on his face, forehead, and nose, which reminds us, it was taught in a brace of witnesses only see a corpse's forehead without the form of a face, or only the form of the face without the forehead, they may not testify ad shushneim mimachotem until both are seen together with the nose. So the cook at the Wild Safari restaurant, who identified the corpse as one of the waiters based on his face, forehead, and nose, discovered he had the same birthday and same mole as the victim, which reminds us, Rabbi rejected the biased interpretation of Machlokas and said that everyone agrees that simanim are valid in the raisa, but here in the case of the mole, they disagree b'shuma mitzuya b'mengila, with a mole which is commonly found in the same part of the body as one's bengilo, which Rashi explains as someone born at the same hour and therefore has the same mazel. The Rabban hold that a mole is commonly found on a ben gila, and therefore is not a valid simon to identify the corpse. And Rabbi Yehazar ben Mahabai holds a mole is not commonly found. The Gemara brings alternative versions of Rabba's explanation. So the cook at the Wild Safari restaurant, who identified the corpse as one of the waiters based on his face, forehead, and nose, discovered he had the same birthday and same mole as the victim, who had been tragically attacked in his vital organs by a wild beast. Which reminds us, the Mishnah state, Ein me'iden ela ad she'tetzei nafsho. They may not testify that a man is dead until they see that his soul has departed, even though they saw him suffering from being hacked, or hanging from a gallows, or devoured by a wild beast. Reviewed a set of Nehemiah Shemur guiding the wild beast, they taught this only when the animal is seen eating from an area in the body from which the soul does not depart, referring to non-vital organs or limbs, but from a place where the soul departs, meaning the vital organs, such as the brain, heart, or intestines, they may testify. All right, so that concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avram Goldham Zichu, wishing you a great day and great learning.